Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome to today's Daf Yomi Psachim at Tzadik Tes. We are three lines from the top of the Amud. Shnayim shenisavu pischeim v'chulu. Leima masnisin deloik Rabbi Yehuda. It appears that our Mishnah is not in line with Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. What are we speaking about? You may recall that the Mishnah presented several mix-up cases where the Karbonis Pesach were mixed up between groups. And in the last and final case of the Mishnah, we have Reuven, who is a proud owner of his Karbon Pesach. Shimon, likewise, has his Karbon Pesach. The problem is their animals got mixed up. We do not know which one belongs to whom. Now, the simple solution, theoretically, would be that both owners abandon their Karbonis, they disengage from their Karbonis, and reacquire a Karbon of their choice. They choose one, and this becomes their new Karbon. The problem with that is, as Rashi explained, is that a Karbon Pesach may not be left ownerless, even for a moment. So you can't just abandon your Karbon, because at that point, the Karbon is left without a Baalim, and it's possible. So what then do we do? The Mishnah provided a solution as follows. Reuven invites another person to come join him in his Karbon Pesach. Now he has a group of two people. Shimon does the same on his side. Goes out to the street, gets a stranger to join him in his Karbon. We have two groups of two people each. Now, one member of this group will go over to the other side, join the other group. A member of the second group will go over to join the first group. They swap one person amongst themselves. Now we have Reuven standing on one side, together with a member of Shimon's group, and Shimon likewise standing on his side with a member of Reuven's group. And the Mishnah tells us that they recite the following formula. Reuven turns to his newcomer and he says, "Look, I'm not sure whose Pesach this is. If it's mine, then what you're going to do is abandon yours and come join me. If this happens to be yours," meaning this wasn't really my Karbon, it was really Shimon's, in which you are now a member because you joined Shimon, so I'm abandoning my Karbon, I'm joining you on your Karbon. And Shimon does the same on the other side. Says the Gemara, but it appears that our mission is not following Rabbi Yehuda. Leima masisin like Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda holds you must have at least one original member here, a veteran member. A Pesach cannot be owned exclusively by newcomers. Whereas in our case, it can very well be that that's exactly what happened. Reuven abandoned his Karbon and joined this fellow. And Shimon abandoned his Karbon and joined the fellow next to him. And effectively, the Baalus, the ownership of the Karbonis Pesach were transferred, were left exclusively in the hands of these newcomers. And that doesn't work according to Rabbi Yehuda. Leim masisin like Rabbi Yehuda desanya v'miyimat habayis meis miseh. We darshan like this, that if the members dwindle, they leave, they abandon ship, v'miyimat, they're mismite. That's okay. Melamed shemismaten v'holchen. They can go ahead and leave the group, ubavad shehi echad v'bnei chabura kayam, provided there's at least one original member here. You have 10 people purchasing a carbon, designating a carbon. 9 can leave, provided there's one fellow left behind. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. You need to have a leftover, but that fellow has to be from the original group. Rabbi Yisrael, but that's not necessary. They can only, provided they don't leave the Pesach alone, abandoned, ownerless, at any given moment. So according to Rabbi Yisrael, the process described in our Mishnah works perfectly well. Because at no point in time, there wasn't even a single moment that this Pesach was left without an owner. Because bear in mind, we had two members for Pesach. Reuben invited somebody to join him, and Shimon likewise invited somebody to join him. So even when Reuben had to abandon his Pesach, right, he told the fellow that came over from Shimon's group, if this is yours, I'm leaving my Pesach alone, I'm joining you. Even at that moment, the Reuben abandoned ship, but there was another member of that Pesach standing somewhere in the room who was still the owner of that Pesach. In which case, the Pesach was never left without a Balaam. So that's good according to Rabbi Yossi, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, it can very well be that this Pesach was transferred to new owners. An owner, a member who was never here. It wasn't part of the initial Chabura, which in this case was only Reuven and Shimon. No, our Mishnah could be in line even with Rabbi Yehuda. How's that? Even the Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Ein Sheikh Tenesa Pesach Al Yachid. We actually discussed this Machlekes earlier in Tzadik Aleph. It seems to be unrelated Machlekes. Can we bring a Pesach for a Yachid, an individual owner? According to Rabbi Yehuda, no, we learned it from a Pasuk, Leitzucha L'Zbeich Es HaPesach Be'echad. You can't bring the Pesach for one. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you can. This discussion seems to be unrelated to Al Gemara. Says Rabbi Yehuda, no, it's actually very much related. Since according to Rabbi Yehuda, when Reuven purchased that Pesach, it wasn't meant to remain as such, as having just a single owner. You're not meant to bring a Pesach for a Yochid. It was slated to have more members. Mikar initially lamnuye achrina bahadekoi. It was meant to get some more members here. Therefore, when Reuven went out to the street to find himself a friend, uke echad b'bnei chabura dami, he is treated and regarded as though he is one of the original members of this carbon, because the carbon needed at least two people. Therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan, even if it should so be that the Pesach was transferred to the newcomer, that's okay. He is considered like a veteran member, like an original member, ke'echad mei chabura, because it was meant to be. He was meant to be added and considered a member of this Pesach. Therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan, our Mishnah is perfectly in line with Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that not only must a Pesach always have an owner, but it must also have at least one of the original owners. Amar Rabbi Ashi, masnis namideka. Actually, if you take a closer look at our Mishnah, you will find that it is very much in line with Rabbi Yehuda, and only with Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Diktani, because in the previous case, the Mishnah tells us about five groups. V'chein chamesh chaburis shel chamisha chamisha. Five chaburis, each one had their carbon Pesach. Each chabura consisted of five members. So these five animals got mixed up. Mishnah tells us, we have a solution for the problem. How's that? We have five groups. In each group, we have five people. We take one person from each group and form a new group. We take another person from each group and form a new group of five people. We repeat the process five times over. The result is five new groups. And bear in mind, the original groups are all represented in every single one of these five groups. They have an ambassador in each one of those groups. This will ensure that the Korban Pesach, which was chosen by each one of these new groups, will have at least one rightful owner amongst them. Must be so. And then the Mishnah tells us they repeat they go through the ceremony, they turn to them, they say, well, if this is yours, we're joining you. If it's ours, join us, etc. According to says Rav Ashi, what's the pshat that we speak about five groups of equal numbers? Each one has five members. Shel chamisha in, it only works if each one of the original groups had five, in which case now they're evenly distributed. We came up with five new groups, each one having five people, representing all original five groups. Aval shel chamisha v'arba'loi. But suppose you switch things around slightly. you began with five groups. The first, second, third, and fourth had five members. The last group only had four members. In that case, it won't work. Why won't it work? True, you need to have five in each group so that they'll be evenly distributed. They'll each have representation in the newly formed groups. That's true, because otherwise the Pesach might be left for a moment without an owner. So that's true. You need to have five in each original group in order to circumvent that concern. Because otherwise, if you only have one, two, three, four groups having five people, and the fifth one only has four people, when you reconfigure, when you redistribute the members and form new groups, you'll end up with four groups of five people each, and the last group only four people. In which case it can turn out that the Pesach, which was chosen by the members of the smaller group, the four-member group, really belonged to other people. The rightful owner of that Karban Pesach is not being represented in their group. Now when the other ones abandon their Karban through this process, through the reciting this whole Nusach of the Mishnah, it might very well be that they're abandoning their Karban. There's nobody to hold on to it. Because it was chosen by that smallest group where there is no owner there. The rightful owner of that Karban is not being represented there. So inevitably you have to have enough people to distribute them evenly amongst the new groups to ensure that there's at least one person in that group who owns that Pesach. This will ensure that the Pesach is being held on to by that person and not being abandoned totally. Fine, we understand that. But, says Rashi, you want to get to an even number? Bring somebody in from the street. So why couldn't the Mishnah describe the case as involving five groups, four of them consisting of five members each, and the fifth one only had four members, and they went to the street and they found a fifth person to join them. Now you have five groups with five members in each. And then reconfigure it, redistribute the members, as the Mishnah tells us to do. Now you have five new groups, and the old groups are all represented within them. And they go through the process. If it's yours, we're joining you. If it's ours, join us. What's wrong with that? Apparently, says Rashi, this is the right to review this shita. You can't do this. Why? Aval chamisha v'arba'a lo'i. But if you have some five, some four, it doesn't work. Even if they can go and bring a new member to join them. And then redistribute everybody equally. Lav mishum de lo'i payish chad v'mnei chaburu gabe. Apparently the problem here is because we're following Rabbi Yehuda Shita, who holds that you need at least one veteran member who will still hold on to the carbon. You need somebody from the original group. Now, if the group only had four people, you have to go out and find the fifth person to join them. He's not one of the originals. And if it turns out that after redistributing all the members, the veterans will abandon the carbon, and the only one left with the holding onto the carbon will be this newcomer. It can happen. It can very well be that the newcomers, the group that the newcomer joined, the newly formed group which the newcomer ended up joining, will be the one that chose the carbon which relates to him. And being that the other owners of this carbon abandoned that carbon, he's the only one left holding the carbon. A newcomer cannot be the sole owner of a carbon, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Lav mishum delei payish chad mibnei chabura gabei. Apparently the reason is because one of the original bnei chabura was lei payish, wasn't left behind, wasn't left holding onto the carbon. It was completely transferred to this newcomer. And therefore, okay, it doesn't work. So the only way it works is if you have five groups, five members in each, five original members in each. Now we redistribute everybody. We take one person from each group, we form a new group, repeat that process five times over, which results and all the original groups having representation in every single one of the new groups. In which case, it's inevitable that every Pesach will have at least one rightful owner sitting by it, one member of the original group, the primary owner, will be there to take care of it. And only in that case does it work. Because indeed, we are following Rabbi Yehuda, very much following Rabbi Yehuda Shita. And that is a required element. Shema Mino, indeed, this is a raya that our Mishnah is actually in line to Rabbi Yehuda. So the kasha was, the Mishnah is inconsistent, Rabbi Yehuda. We had two terutzim. Rabbi Yechon explained that a carbon which is being owned by a yachid needs to have additional members, and therefore the newcomer is actually considered a primary member. That explained the last case in the Mishnah. Rav Ashi brought a riot. In the case of the group of five, it's very clear that we are indeed following Rabbi Deshita. You need to have at least one original member holding on to the carbon. This is the conclusion of the halachos of Pesach Sheni. Says the new perek, Erev Pesachim. Now, actually, the Rashbam here is Goyres Arvi Pesachim. Now, the Mefarshim point out that Rashi, which you will find on the top of the Amid, is extra short, extra brief in this perek. It's not so typical for of Rashi to be that way, and that's why many of Farshim chose, they preferred the Pirush Rashbam, Pirush Rabbeinu Shmuel, which is printed beneath Rashi, which is more elaborate, and he's actually a grandson of Rashi, Rabbeinu Shmuel, the Rashbam. So we'll follow in line with the Farshim, we'll focus on the Pirush Rashbam. So Rashbam says that the Girsa, if you look at the bold in the Rashbam, Arvi Pesachim. The Rashbam was Gur's Arvei Pesachim, Elashin Rabim. And Tosis actually says, that seems to be the preferred Gursa, Arvei Pesachim, because Arvei is Elashin Rabim, Pesachim is Elashin Rabim. However, says Tosis, there is a Gursa of Erev Pesachim, and he comes to explain the Gursa. He says, Tupshat. Erev can mean the Erev of the day. The Erev is the day that they are Sheikhet many Pesachim. So it's Erev Pesach where many Pesachim are shechted. Inami says Tosfos, it's Erev of the two Yomtivs, the Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. So either way, whether it's Erev Pesachim or Arvi Pesachim, we're speaking about Erev Pesach. What happens then? It says the Mishnah, Arvi Pesachim Semelcha Mincha. If it's within a half hour of Mincha, what is Mincha? Explains the Rashbam. It's referring to the time when they were sheiched the tamid shebein arbaim, which is 9.5 hours into the day. We're speaking about, for instance, a day that begins at 6, ends at 6. You split the day into 12 equal parts, shoes manias. The korban tamid was nishchat b'teisha mechza, 9.5 into the day, which is 3:30. Samach mincha means close to mincha, within a half hour. So the beginning of the 10th hour, which is 3 o'clock. So Arvi Pesachim Semelcha Mincha, lo yoichal adam, a person should not sit down to a meal, a filling meal, acha techshach. He shouldn't have that meal until, wait until it gets dark. This way, he'll reserve his appetite for the mitzvah of matzah, which will make it a more muhudurdika mitzvah. And that's the way it's meant to be. Tosis asks, what is this person eating in any case? It's Erev Pesach. Chametz, he can't eat. Matzah, he's not allowed to eat. So what exactly is this person eating that's filling him? It says, Tosis, matzah shira. We have some matzah mixed in with all types of juices and liquids that make it possible for the matzah's mitzvah. On the one hand, it's not chametz. On the other hand, it's not really matzah that you can use for the mitzvah, and therefore you can eat it at Erev Pesach. And Tosis concludes, V'chein hoya noyeg Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam actually would eat matzah shira on Erev Pesach. But, starting from the point of a Samach HaMincha, from 3 o'clock in the afternoon, a person must stop. Lo yoichal adam ad she'techshach. Afilu onei shebi Yisrael, says the Mishnah, even a pauper amongst Yisrael, lo yoichal ad she'yoseh. This is a new halacha. Haseba, a person is meant to lean during the Seder night, Derech Chayrin, Derech B'nei Chayrin, Derech Chayrus, even an Ani who Tosfos explains doesn't really have what to lean on that makes him look like a Ben Chayrin. Still, every Yid must do a Seba to demonstrate the Chayrus that we're experiencing at that moment. At least spiritual Chayrus he should demonstrate. Every Yid is going through a Yitzias Mitzrayim, a spiritual exodus, a spiritual chayrus, and everybody has to present himself as such. Concludes the Mishnah, this pauper, they shouldn't give him less than 4 cups of wine, even if he's in such a destitute situation that he's sustained by this daily food collection, this tamchoy collection, he must make sure that he has 4 cases of yain for the Seder. Let's take a look at Rashbam, right in the middle of the Amid. Ari Psochem Samacha Mincha. Mincha Ketan. Mincha means Mincha Ketan. What does Mincha Ketan mean? Mincha describes the point in time in the day where they would be makriv, when they would be makriv the Tamish Ben Arbaim. Now technically, you can begin from Chatzos or half hour after Chatzos, up until Shkia, that's called Mincha Gedoyla, this large segment of time designated for the Tamid. But generally, typically in the Beis HaMikdash, they would bring the Tamid only much later, at 9.5 hours into the day, to allow for the Nedarim and the Davit, which are meant to precede the Tamid. From 9.5 until the end of the day, leaves you 2.5 hours, that's called Mincha Ketana, the smaller Mincha time period. Says the Rashbam, Avri Psachim Samacha Mincha, Mincha means Mincha Ketan. What does Samacha Mincha mean? Koydil Mincha Ma'at Chatzisho. Half hour before Mincha, that's called Samacha Mincha. Betchilas Shal Asiris, at the initiation of the 10th hour. 10th hour is from 3 to 4. And 4 to 5 is the 11th, and 5 to 6 is the 12th. So from 3 o'clock, you must refrain from having a sud. Desnan Tobin Nishcha Bishmoina Mechza. The Korah B'Tisha Mechza, the Tamid was generally Nikra at 9.5, Nimtzis Mincha Ketana B'Tesel Mechza, V'Samach Lai Yayin Chatzisho Koidim, V'Seif Sha'at Shiris, V'Tchila Sha'at Siris, at the transition point between 2 and 3. 2 and 3 o'clock, so meaning as soon as it hits 3 o'clock, that's called Samach Mincha. Lo Yoichel Adam, person must refrain, why? K'dei She'yoichel Matzah Shal Mitzvah L'Ti'Avim. You should have a desire to eat the Matzah Shal Mitzvah B'Shem Hidr Mitzvah. Eating it with appetite adds to the mitzvah experience. That's called hiddur mitzvah. The Mishnah continued, "Vafilo onish beyisrael lo yoichel ba'avri psachem ad sheyosef kederech bnei chayr v'mita v'al hashulchan zecher lechiras." Further, "V'leif chasuloi gabo yitztaka hamefarnes and asaniyim." The Mishnah says, "V'leif chasuloi," they shouldn't give him less. We're speaking about the gabo yitztaka and tzedakah collectors who support the aniyim kedesnan ein peichsel la'ani avi makom mokem. The Rashbam brings a Mishnah and Peah, which employs the same terminology. They shouldn't give him less. We're speaking about the tzedakah collectors providing. Says the Rashbam, even if he doesn't receive from the administrators, he must look after his chiyuv. This is just common practice. That they would generally give him 4 cases. That's why the Mishnah describes it as such. But really, each individual, in every situation, must ensure that he acquires these four, that he obtains 4 cases. V'sidran mefurish lafaneinu. And exactly how do we drink those cases? The Gemara later will discuss. Umatzinu b'bereishis rabba, says Rashbam. Rav Huna b'reshem Rabbi Abba Amar. What's the point of 4 cases? Keneged arba l'shoyne geula hamurim. Begolos Mitzrayim. We find 4 lishoynes of Gula. Voitzesi, vegoalti, velokachti, v'yitzalti, v'ashis ve'ira. And the 4 cases shal yayin are meant to correspond to those 4 cases shal Gula. 4 lishoynes shal Gula. V'afilu hu mesparnes mitamcha shal tztoka dainu. Oni shbanim. He's very poor. This nan misachas peya mishayish le'mozen shtei sudes lo'itum anatamchoy. A fellow that has a 2 suda supply with him, he can't partake in the tamchoy collection. So this fellow who's being sustained by a tamchoy is very desperate. Ah, filu hachi, even this fellow, if he didn't receive an allowance from the gaboy, yim kers mabushai. You hear this? He has to sell his clothing, or yulva, or borrow, or yasker his atzmar, or hire himself out to earn some wages, b'shul yayin la'arba koises. That's how important it is. So Mishnah began with the restriction of eating from the point of samlecha mincha in order to generate an appetite for the matzah. Says the Gemara, my iru arvi psachim, why are we focusing on Erev Pesach? Afilu arvi shabbosis. V'yam tavnam. This halacha applies to every Erev Shabbos, every Erev Yom Tov, the sun. Lo yoichlo adam b'arvi shabbosis. V'yam tovim am nechol amal. One must refrain from eating on every Erev Shabbos, every Erev Yom Tov, starting from Minchan onward. And the Gemara figures, Minha mincha l'mala means samalcha mincha, from 3 o'clock onward. Why do we have this halacha on your typical Erev Shabbos? Kedei sheyikanes l'shabbos kishu tava. So he enters Shabbos with an appetite for the Suda Shabbos, for Kiddush, which is a hider mitzvah, did Rabbi Yisi Omer, no, there's no such halacha. Oichel v'oichel shetechshach. You continue eating until night time. You don't have to worry about the appetite for Suda Shabbos. In any case, according to Rabbi Yehuda, this halacha applies equally to Shabbos, to every other Yom Tov. So why does our Mishnah specifically related to Erev Pesach? We have two tirutz. Om Rav Huna, Leitzricha El Rabbi Yosi. He write according to Rabbi Yehuda. There's no difference between Shabbos, Sukkot, Pesach. Why does the Mishnah focus on Pesach? Because here we have a chiddush that even quotes Rabbi Yosi, who's not generally concerned about appetite on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov. But Erev Pesach is different. Generally, keep on eating. Not only applies to your typical standard Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov. But Erev Pesach is different. On account of the Chi of Matzah, which is a bit of Deiraisa. Over here, even Rabbi Yosi agrees. One must ensure that he has the proper approach, the proper appetite, to mekayim the mitzvah d'oraisa properly. This is in contrast with Suda Shabbos, which is a mitzvah, but it's not d'oraisa, it's a mitzvah of Nevi'im, because Lo Shabbos Oineg, etc. It doesn't have the same level as mitzvah's matzah. So this is the kasha. Why specific to Erev Pesach? Because according to Rabbi Yosi, it only applies in Erev Pesach. Let's take a look at the Rashbam again. 7 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Gemara, afilu arvi shabbosis. Alibid Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we have a question. This halacha is a standard halacha, applied to all arvi shabbosis and yom tov. Says Rashi, why? Kedei shehi kiddush usudas shabbos chavav alav. You should have a desire for kiddush, for sudas shabbos, which enhances the mitzvah experience. The Gemara concluded, the chiddush is, even according to Rabbi Yosi, who is generally not concerned, but when it comes to Erev Pesach, Meshem Chiyuv the Matzah, Sheloi Tei Necheles Al Soiva, he shouldn't be full when he gets the Matzah. That's why we want to make sure that you refrain from having a meal, don't fill yourself, in order to reserve your appetite for the mitzvah. V'chiyuv the Matzah, Laila Rishon Choyva, Dechsev Be'erev Teuchel Matzah. In contrast to the rest of the days of Pesach, when eating matzah is not a chiv. On the first night, it is a chiv. So we want to make sure that he has the proper approach. That's the first teres of the Gemara. Continues the Gemara. Rav Papa Amar afilu teimim Rabbi Yehuda. You know what? Our Mishnah could be following even Rabbi Yehuda's sheet. Why do we focus specifically on Erev Pesach, where really this halacha applies to every other Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov? The difference is in the timing. Hosam barvi shabbosis v'yavim tovim. But I'm in chalamal da'aser. True, on your standard Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov, you must refrain from when? From what point onward? When's the cutoff point? Min chalamal? 3.5. 3:30. 9.5 hours into the day. But I'm in chalamal da'aser. Samach min chashari. But a half hour preceding that is mutter. As opposed to Erev Pesach, where we advance it a half hour, perhaps because it's Mitzvah D'oraisa, we stop at 3 o'clock. So our Mishnah is speaking about Erev Pesach, Samach HaMilcha. Whereas by Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontif, you also must stop at the cutoff point a half hour later. That's why there's a difference between Erev Pesach, discussed in our Mishnah, and the other Ari Shabbos Yom Tov discussed in the Braisa. Says the Gemara, is that so? Uber of Shabbos, Samach HaMincha Shari? On your standard Erev Shabbos, you can continue eating past the stage of Samach HaMincha until 9.5 hours into the day? V'atani, we learned in the price. Lo yoichel adam be'erev Shabbos. V'yamim tovim, from what time on? Miteisha shoros olamal. From 9 hours into the day. Meaning from 3 o'clock onward. Kadeshi kanach l'Shabbos k'shutav. To keep the appetite for the Shabbos suda. Div Rabbi Yudah. Rabbi Yudah, Oymer, oichel bohe l'chat shetechshach. According to Rabbi Yudah, no concern. According to Rabbi Yudah, you must stop at 3 o'clock. This is inconsistent with Rav Huna. With Rav Papa, I mean, that said that on Erev Shabbos, you don't have to stop at Samach HaMincha. That's unique to Erev Pesach. But Erev Shabbos, continue until 3:30. Amar Mar Zutra, Man Leim Olam Dematarza Sahi. Who's going to tell us that this Braisa is a reliable Braisa? Correctly formulated Braisa? The Mumash Abashti, perhaps it's an unreliable Braisa. It's misstated, misquoted. We find many times brises weren't so reliable. Who says that the wording of the brises is meant to be relied upon? The brises that tells us that even on Erev Shabbos he must stop Samach HaMincha. Amalei Mereimar. Mereimar responded to Mazutra. V'itema, some say it was Rav Yemer. It's very reliable, this brise. Ano ikli lepirkei d'Rav Pinchas. I was present. I encountered the shear of Rav Pinchas, braid of Rav Ami, v'kom tana, v'tane kameh, and a chacham got up, and he presented this very brisa before Rav Pinchas. In this manner, that Erev Shabbos, he must stop Samach HaMincha, v'kibul minei, and he accepted it. Apparently, it's a reliable brisa. Yochi kasha. If that's the case, we're back to square one. If, according to Rabbi Yudah, even on a standard Erev Shabbos V'Yom Tov, he must stop eating Samach HaMincha. There's no difference between Shabbos and Pesach regarding that cutoff point. Takes us back to the first kasha. If so, why does the Mishnah by us focus on Erev Pesach? This is really a generic halacha, a universal halacha applied elsewhere to every Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov. Rav Papa attempted to say there's a difference between Erev Shabbos when you stop at 9.5 and Erev Pesach when you have to have stopped a half hour earlier. But if we're now concluding that Samach HaMincha applies universally, back to the Kasha. Why focus on Erev Pesach and now Mishnah? Yochi Kasha. El Machvar to Rav Huna. Apparently the correct approach is Rav Huna's approach. Yeah, indeed, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's always going to be Samach HaMincha. Whether Erev Shabbos, Erev Sukkot, Erev Pesach, he must stop at 3 o'clock. There's no difference between Pesach and otherwise. The Chiddush of our Mishnah is that even according to Rabbi Yosi, who's never concerned about appetite, that's only by Shabbos and your standard Yom Tov. But when it comes to Pesach, even Rabbi Yosi would agree that you have to stop Samach HaMincha. And his shita is reflected in our Mishnah. And that's why the Mishnah focuses on Erev Pesach, following Rabbi Yosi's shita. And indeed, this halacha is unique and exclusive to Erev Pesach. So, in conclusion, the Mishnah told us about generating an appetite for the mitzvah matzah. We learned about the mitzvah haseba that applies even to an unibi Yisrael, who will experience spiritual cheres in that night. And finally, we discussed Arba Kaisa Shal Yayin, which is a requirement for all. In fact, Taisa says it's best that everybody should have their own four kaisas, not only the head of household. And as Mishnah tells us, this applies even to a pauper who is being sustained by a tamchoi, And as the Rashbam tells us, he must go to great lengths to obtain four koises, which are connected the arba lishoine shel gula.